And then Joshua.
This close? Joshua 2, 9 through 11 will be the third set of scriptures. So James 2, 20 through 26. Give Eric an amen when you get there. All right, James 2, verse 20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see, then, that a man is justified by works, and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And then we're going to turn to Romans 4, 1 through 3. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For as Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Then Joshua. Y'all have to bear with me. I'm used to my apple, so I'm back on paper this morning. Joshua 2, 9 through 11. And said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Give this mic back to you. Sorry.
Thank you, Byron. Again, this is a great blessing, a wonderful privilege, and I'm so grateful to have this opportunity. Let's open in prayer, please. Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity we have to gather together. This is a time of refreshing in the midst of trials during the week. We are so grateful, Lord, we can gather together in person and through media, to gather together to worship you through song and through your word. We pray today, Lord, that you would be blessed, you would be glorified and lifted up. And we pray today, Father, that Jesus Christ would be exalted. All to the praise of the glory of your grace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the third of a series of messages in the book of James, chapter 2. We've been discussing faith without works is dead. This is what we see in this passage from beginning with verse 14. Down through 26, we see a series of markers that James puts out. In only 13 verses, three different times, he says, faith without works is dead. And here in verse 20, the second of these, we see that he speaks to a foolish man. Oh, foolish man, he says, do you want to know that faith without works is dead? This foolish man is a literary device that James uses, and Paul also uses to great effect in making his argument that faith truly is dead without works. So when we read this about the foolish man, he's speaking to us as the readers. And he asks a series of questions. And here the question is, do you want to know? Do you want to know that faith without works is dead? And the way that James goes about showing that is by introducing two different examples of living faith. So the way that he shows that faith without works is dead by giving us two examples of living faith. And the first example there in verse 21 is Abraham. Now, Abraham is not just a patriarch. He is the patriarch. We see where James says, was not Abraham our father? So that's a father in two different senses. One sense, of course, is racial. He's the father of the Jewish nation. But also the other sense is he is our father spiritually. He is the father of all who believe. You can see this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, that all that are of faith are sons of Abraham. So whether or not you recognize that, if you're a Christian today, you are a son of Abraham, regardless of your nationality, of your culture, of language. All Christians are sons of Abraham. Years ago at summer camp, we used to sing a song called Father Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. That's a great camp song and really a wonderful song for any time. But we sang that many, many times. And it just goes to the understanding that Abraham is our father. And yet Abraham himself was justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar. We see that not only does James reference Abraham, but Paul references Abraham. We read that passage earlier in Romans chapter 4, the first three verses, where Paul makes the argument that we are justified by faith. And he shows there that Abraham was justified by faith. The quotation that both James and Paul gives is from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Both Paul and James quote this very same verse, and it is absolutely true in both cases. The argument Paul makes in Romans chapter 4 is that Abraham was justified by faith alone. And amen and amen. The argument that James makes is that Abraham was justified by works. And we say equally amen and amen to that. Both of these statements are true. When Paul makes the statement that Abraham was justified by faith, he is referring to Genesis chapter 15. At this point in Genesis chapter 15, his name was not yet Abraham. He was Abram at this point. He was given the promises by God of a great nation that would come from him as the stars of the heaven and the sand on the seashore. And verse 6 tells us in chapter 15 that Abram believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now this is an important statement here because many Jewish rabbis of Paul's day in the rabbinical writings believed that Abraham had kept the law perfectly through intuition and anticipation of the law being given, because the law had not yet been given, but they were teaching that Abraham had kept the law perfectly, anticipating the giving of the law. What Paul makes the wonderful statement of, that no, Abraham was justified by faith. If anyone could be justified by works, it would have been Abraham. And yet, we see here in Scripture multiple places that Abraham was justified by faith. He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is an important thing to consider, because righteousness there is a positive attribute. Righteousness is not just bringing us up to zero, having been sinful people, and we are brought up to a neutral status. Righteousness is saying that we have been blessed, we have been justified, we are declared right. That's what righteousness means. Justification means is to be declared right in the sight of God. So Paul's argument here in Romans chapter 4 is absolutely in line with what James says, because James in James chapter 2, when he references Abraham, instead of going to chapter 15 of Genesis, James goes to chapter 22. And it is in chapter 22 that we see in verse 1 that God tested Abraham. And he tested Abraham by telling him to take his son, Isaac, his one and only son, the son of promise, and sacrifice him. Now we know that Abraham was justified because he believed God. And there's three examples in this chapter 22, that show us the extent of Abraham's faith in God. The first example is that he did not argue. When he was told by God to do this, there was no questioning, there was no argument, there was no discussion. The Scripture says he got up the next day and, as we would say, he loaded up. He prepared to go and do exactly what God had told him to do. What a marvelous, wonderful example of faith in God Abraham gives us there. The second example he gives in that chapter, Genesis chapter 22, is when the two young men that were servants were left behind. Abraham told them that we will be back. When Abraham and Isaac went off to the mountain to do this sacrifice, he told the two young men, we will be back. So this is, again, a wonderful statement of faith there on the part of Abraham. And the third example is when he tells Isaac that God will provide a lamb. So three wonderful statements, examples by Abraham of faith and trust in God. When he offered his son Isaac on the altar, we see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19, the reason for this faith in God. He believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In verse 19, it says that Abraham believed that God would raise up Isaac from the dead, even from the dead. So he was going through with this because he believed the promises of God that through Isaac, his son, his descendants would be numerous as the stars of the heavens and to the sand on the seashore. And yet, if he put this one son to death on the altar, God would raise him up, because God had promised him, and God never lies. God would keep his word. And so Abraham believed him. And we see in Scripture here in James chapter 2 that this faith of Abraham worked together with his works. And by the works, a faith was made perfect. And this is exactly what happens in the life of every Christian. We who profess faith in Christ, when we're obedient to the Lord, obedient to His Word, this is exactly what is occurring in us. Our faith is being made perfect. That phrase there speaks of maturity. It speaks of reaching a goal. So the idea of faith being made perfect is simply saying that it works together with works in accomplishing exactly what God's purpose is for us in Christ. So James is exactly right when he speaks of Abraham being justified by works. We know in chapter 15 of Genesis that the moment that Abraham believed, he was justified by faith in the sight of God. And we know from chapter 22 that his actions, because of his genuine living faith in God, produced obedience and glorified God, and he was justified in the sight of men because of his obedience to God's commands. In the same way, we as Christians are justified by faith in Christ the moment we come to faithful obedience to God. The moment we give our lives to Christ in true, authentic, actual, real faith, we are justified in the sight of God. And that true, genuine, authentic, real, living faith will immediately and always produce good works. So we see here in the life of Abraham the example to us as believers that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Both James and Paul quote this very same verse, showing that they are not at odds, that they are in perfect harmony with the will and counsel of God Himself. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we recognize and we see there's no controversy here. There's no conflict. There's no friction at all between James and Paul, because the people that James was defending the gospel against were those who thought that a mere profession of faith was enough to save someone. And the people that Paul was defending the gospel against were those who believed in works righteousness, that we could earn our way to heaven. So we see in these passage, this one quotation from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, which Paul and James both use, it absolutely affirms that we are saved by faith alone. And that very same authentic, genuine faith will always and ever produce good works. So as we see this in the text of Scripture here, we recognize and understand that we are justified by faith alone in Christ alone. And we are justified before men by our works. We give glory to God through obedience to God in His Word through works. So faith by itself is dead, and yet faith that is real, faith that is living, will always and ever produce good works. So as we see this example in the life of Abraham, we are to take encouragement from that. We are to take strength from that, understanding the example that Abraham lived out is the very same example we should live out as people. He believed God. He trusted God in His obedience to Him. When God said to do it, he did it without questioning, without arguing, and he trusted the Lord. We as Christians today have the Word of God in which we're to obey. We're not to question it. We're not to argue with it. We're not to try and twist it and make it say something it does not say. We're not to ignore parts of it. We are to embrace it completely. And if we ever, ever have a doctrine or an understanding that conflicts with Scripture, we should recognize at that point that we need to change our thinking about our doctrine, not about Scripture. We are to embrace Scripture. We are to believe it. We are to hold to it. We are to obey the Word of God. Because in doing so, we're inoculating ourselves against false teaching, in which there's much in these days. It is a shameful statement to think about, but the number one mission field for the Mormon Church, do you know what that is? The number one mission field for the Mormon Church are Baptists. The number one mission field are Baptists. How do we avoid falling into cult thinking? By embracing and holding to the Word of God. Study it, immerse yourself in it, saturate yourself with the Word of God, be aware, be knowledgeable. We are so blessed to have Pastor Eric that preaches faithfully the Word of God in this day and age in which so many churches in our time don't even preach Scripture. But we hold to Scripture as our guide, as our authority of life and conduct. And in doing so, we can trust faithfully that we will live lives that are obedient and blessed by God through obedience to Him. So this example that James gives of Abraham is a wonderful example and one that we should hold to completely. The second example that James gives is the example of Rahab the harlot. You see that there in verse 25. And this is really a marvelous example. I guess I grew up a little bit too far south because I have to struggle not to say Rahab, but nevertheless, however we want to pronounce it in English, she was a harlot. And the Scripture says, likewise was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works. So that word likewise there is simply telling us in the same way that Abraham was justified by works, Rahab the harlot was justified by works. She was justified by works in receiving the messengers and sending them out a different way. When we read that passage there in Joshua chapter 2 that Byron read so well earlier, notice what she says there in the life of Rahab. This is a woman who was so different from Abraham. It's interesting that James chooses her as the second example of being justified by works. Because as Abraham was a patriarch, Rahab was not even of the nation. Abraham was a Jew. Rahab was a Gentile. Abraham, of course, was a man. Rahab was a woman. Abraham was righteous. Rahab was a harlot. Abraham was old. Rahab was young. So many distinctions between them, so many differences, and yet both of them are recorded in Scripture. Even in Hebrews chapter 11, you can read about Rahab there in verse 31. The fact that she was justified by her works. When we look at Joshua chapter 2, we see there the magnificent declaration she makes of faith. She, of course, was the one that took the two messengers or spies that were there to scout out the land and Jericho and hid them She had lied to the king of Jericho. She had hidden these two messengers up on the roof under the stalks of flags that were there. So this is a woman who had recognized that we see in Scripture what she says there in verse 9, that the Lord has given you the land. Notice, the Lord is not giving you our land. She says the Lord has given you the land, because the land is God's land. The land we live in today is God's land. We can think of it as ours, but we're all passing through. The land, the world, the nation, it's God's. All of it is God's. And here's a pagan woman, a prostitute, who declares, the Lord has given you the land. And notice what she says about their attitude toward this. The entire nation, the entire people of that land, they had grown faint-hearted. Their hearts had melted. Their courage was gone because of what they had learned about the Israelites, what God had done for them, all the way from leaving Egypt to the Jordan. And this was a time, mind you, and even into many centuries into the future, where gods were considered national gods. It was the God of this nation, or the God of that nation. But here Rahab's recognizing being in a polygamous society, polytheistic society. They may have been polygamous too. But many gods, and she mentions the God. The Lord God is God. He is God. This is a remarkable statement of faith by a woman coming out of a pagan nation. And she makes this statement that God is the God of heaven above and earth beneath. God, this God, your God, the true living God, He's not limited by boundaries, by rivers or mountains. The God that your God, He is the God of all. He's the God of heaven above and the earth beneath. What a magnificent statement of faith by this woman. And she backs that statement up. She lives out that statement of faith, being justified by faith, that real, living, authentic faith, by harboring, receiving these two messengers and sending them out a different way. Her sending them out a different way was to help them escape those that were pursuing them. And then when they hid out for 3 days on the mountain, as she instructed, then they could go their way back to their camp. So here we see in Rahab this life of this wonderful example of faith, magnificent instruction for us as believers. Notice when she's talking to these two messengers, these two spies, what she asked of them. All she asked of them is to save me and my family from death. That's her only request of them. Save us from death. We know the Lord has given you this land, and we know we're about to die, just as the rest of the nation did. She was one of many in the nation. She said, we're all feeling this way. We're all faint-hearted. Our hearts have all melted. The courage of all of us is gone. And yet she, in faith, reaches out to them and requests grace. She requests salvation in a real physical sense, be delivered from death. And she's promised this. Matter of fact, this is the only promise she has given, that you and your family will be saved if you obey the instructions that she was given. This is another one of the great reasons we should obey God in His Word, because this promise was kept. She was delivered by them. When the walls fell out, her and her family were delivered. And yet, Rahab received so much more from what she ever expected. All she had requested, all she had expected, because all she had been promised was that she would be delivered. Her life would be spared. And yet, beyond that, we see that she married a prince of Israel. And Rahab was no longer a harlot. Rahab was a Jewish wife, and then a Jewish mother, and then a grandmother, and then an ancestor to the Messiah Himself, Jesus Christ. You can see this in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, where Rahab is mentioned, this woman who was once a pagan harlot. Here, Rahab is a Jewish wife and mother who has been blessed beyond measure because she was justified by her works through her faith in the promises of God. So Rahab was a wonderful example of that. And we see here the last of these warnings by James here in chapter 2, verse 26. He gives the example of a corpse. How do we know that faith is dead? He says, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. James is saying, as dead as a body is once the spirit is gone, that's how dead faith is without works. It's not partially dead that can be revived, or mostly dead. It is all dead. Faith without works is all dead. And we need to recognize that. We need to examine ourselves. That's why James is giving these warnings. This is the mercy and grace of God in these passages. Examine yourselves. Don't go by these warnings like people do sometimes on the highway when they see a sign that says, construction ahead, merge. Now, rumor is, there are people that actually ignore these signs, and instead of merging, what do? They speed up. Now, you can't see where the construction is at this point. You may crane your neck and look for it, but you can't see it. You just know the sign says, construction ahead, merge. And yet, instead of doing that, people sometimes accelerate trying to get ahead of other people. And so the idea there is, instead of obeying the warnings, they dismiss the warnings and reap the consequences. When we finally get to the point where the merge point is, the lane that's closed is closed off, what do you see there? But people waiting, trying to merge into the line at that point, slowing down all the traffic instead of doing what should have been done in the first place and merging so the traffic can continue. This warning by James here is the same way. We see three different warnings that James gives, that faith without works is dead. Examine your life. Inspect yourself. We're told to do that in Scripture. We want to warn you again today of this, that we are saved and justified by faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. We are never, ever saved by works. But we say one last time that faith that is real, faith that is genuine, faith that is authentic, will always result in good works. It will produce good works, because this is how we are justified in the sight of other people, and this is how we give God glory in doing this. So we ask today, come to Christ, trust Him this day. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You, God, for the warnings of Scripture. We thank You for the teachings of Scripture. We thank You, Lord, so much for the examples of godly men and women throughout history, and for the godly example of the man Abraham and the woman Rahab today. We thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness. We thank you, God, that they believed God and it was accounted to them for righteousness. I thank you and praise you, O God, for your goodness to us. I thank you for your mercy. I pray today, Lord, if anyone here does not know Jesus, they would make today the day they would commit their life to Christ. We thank you for this time we've had. In Jesus' name, amen.